B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yomid of Samachvav. We're going to start from the Mishnah in the middle of the Omid. So where are we up to now with the Avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? That the Kohen Gadol had shechted his bull, the goat, which was Chatos Lashem. On the bull he had said vidui twice, he had confessed twice, once on behalf of himself and his family, once on behalf of all the Kohenim. And now we're up to the next stage in the Avoidas Yom HaKippurim, which is the confession on the Soir La'azazel, which is still standing at the Mizrach wall of the Azorah near the Sha'ar Nikanor. We've learned previously that this goat is actually facing the exit of the Azorah towards where it's going to be sent. And the Kohen Gadol is now going to go to this Soir, the Soir La'azazel, do a confession and send it off with the person that has been pre-designated for that, sent it off to the Azazel. Says the Mishnah, Baloi Eitzel Soir HaMishtaleach, the Kohen Gadol comes to the goat, which is going to be sent to the Azazel, V'soymuch Shtei Yadav Olav, he leans his two hands on the goat, as one does with Smicha, as one does with the Vidui, U'misvade, and he confesses on the goat. What does he say? V'kachoy Oimer, and this is very similar to what we've already seen previously with the confessions on the bull. He says, Ono Hashem, Chotu Ovu Poshu Lefanecho, Amcho Bleis Yisrael, that your nation, Klal Yisrael, they have done different types of Averis, by mistake, on purpose, even rebelliously sometimes. On Hashem, the Kohen Gadol is beseeching to Hashem, Kapir No, to atone and forgive Klal Yisrael, Lachatoim V'Lavoinis V'Lapshoim, Shechotu V'Sheovu V'Sheposhu Lufanecho Amcho Bleis Yisrael, Kakosu V'Seres Moshe Avdecho, Lamer, it says in the Posuk, Ki Vayoyim Azer Yechapir Aleichem, L'Tahir Eschem Mikol Chatiseichem, on this day on Yom Kippur, Hashem purifies and cleanses all of Klal Yisrael from their Averis, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Titharu. They are cleansed. And we know this from the Musaf on Yom Kippur. We're all familiar with this. Now the Vilna Gaon takes out the next three lines, but it's in the Mishnah, we can read it. V'akeanim v'ha'om ho'imdim ba'azara. All the Kohenim and all the other people of Klal Yisrael that were witness to this, and they heard the Kohen Gadol k'shal Yushoimim Shema Mefirosh, when they heard Hashem's name being pronounced, not in the way that we pronounce it, which is not actually reading the letters, we just say Ad Nus, but in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol would actually say Hashem's name in the way it's written. Then when they heard Hashem's name, Shul Yetzum Epi Kohen Gadol, coming out of the mouth of the Kohen Gadol, they would bow and fall on their faces. Another Mishnah continues, and they say the response to the Kohen Gadol saying the vidui and finishing with the pasuk, they would say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusay La'olam Vaed, Hashem's honor, His kingdom is blessed for la'olam vaed, eternally. Masru l'mish ha'yom elichai. After the Kohen Gadol said the confession, he would give over the goat to the person who was going to take the goat to the Azazel. Says the Mishnah, hakel k'sherim la'elichai. Anybody is allowed to was allowed to be appointed to take this goat to the Azazel. Elosh osu k'anim g'doylim keva. There was a kvius, which means that the Kohanim had arranged between them, the Kohanim Gedolim, had a fixed custom, that they would send this goat only with Kohanim, not with anybody else. Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Maisa, there was an incident, and the one who took this goat to the Azazel was a person called Arsela, the Yisrael Haya, he was not a Kohen, and that seems to be in contrary to what we saw before in the Mishnah, that the Kohanim Gedolim, they would insist that Kohanim take this goat. At least at that point, there was this case where a Yisrael took the goat. The Kevesh Osuloi, there was a type of a ramp, a platform, a bridge, that from the Azorah, going all, because we all know that the Azorah was higher than the Ezras Noshim, with all the steps leading up to Sha'ar Nikanor, and then There were more steps leading down to Harabayis. There was a bridge that was leading out from the Azara all the way out. And whoever was going to take this goat would come to the Azara, take the goat, lead it along this bridge and out. And the reason that they did this was mipnei Bavliim, because of the Babylonians, shahoyu metalshim basari, they would pull at the hair. From Rashi, it seems that it's the hair of the goat. There's a discussion whether it was the hair of the goat or the hair of the person that was taking the goat. It's hard to assume that they actually pulled out its hair. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Kippur. It's an Issa of Teilish. But they pulled at the hair of the goat, and they would say to it, to him or to it, tul v'tzei, quickly, quickly leave. You're carrying the Averis of Klal Yisrael. Every extra minute is too much. Quickly go to the Azazel, do what you have to do there, and Klal Yisrael will have their kapora, their atonement. Says the Gemara, v'ilu bnei Aaron am kudeishecho loiko omar. We'll notice that in the text of this confession, he was confessing for the Averis of Klal Yisrael. He did not mention explicitly the sons of Aaron. The holy people of the sons of Aaron were not mentioned here. So the Gemara says, Man Tana. Which Tana would our Mishnah be following when the vidui, the confession said on the Soir La'azazel did not include the Kohanim? So the Gemara is going to have two answers. Omer b'Yirmiyahu deloik Rabbi Yehuda, it's clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda. And we learned about this on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, that we saw there was a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether the Kohanim, the atonement that the Kohanim got for all other Averis, not for Tumas Mikdosh or Kedoshov that we've discussed previously, but for all other Averis. Rabbi Shimon says it was actually that they got their atonement from the confession said on the bull. For the Kohanim, it included all the Averis. And Rabbi Yehuda said that it was actually the vidui, the confession said on the Soir La'azazel that we're discussing now, that that's what atoned for all the Kohanim, for all the other Averis, not including the Tumas Mikdash or Kedoshav. So the Mishnah says that, the Rabbi Yirmiyah says that our Mishnah is the Loik Rabbi Yehuda, is not following Rabbi Yehuda, the Iker Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'omar Yeshlem Kapora, B'Soir HaMishtaleach. Rabbi Yehuda said on Daf Samech Aleph Amud Aleph that the other Kohanim would also be atoned from the confession on this Soir HaMishtaleach. And in the text of the Vidui in our Mishnah, they are not mentioned. It seems not to be following Rabbi Yehuda. Abaya Omar, Abaya argued with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Abaya said no. A filatamer Rabbi Yehuda, this Mishnah could even be Rabbi Yehuda. Otu Kohanim lav bechlal amcho Yisrael ninu. We mention all of Klal Yisrael. Kohanim are not part of Klal Yisrael, so our Mishnah does not necessarily have to exclude the Kohanim. Continues the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon. And the Brice is now going to discuss what it says in the Posuk in Parashas Achrimos, Perek Tezayin, that we've been learning about. It says that in the Pasuk, after Aaron HaKohen did his confession, not necessarily Aaron HaKohen, in later generations it was the Kohen Gadol, after he did the confession, V'shilach b'yad ish iti hamidbara, he sent the goat in the hands of an ish iti, a designated person, hamidbara, to the desert, to a cliff, and he was going to throw the goat over the cliff, off the cliff, and that's how Klal Yisrael would get their atonement. This is not something we can understand. This is a choik, but this is what Hashem says. This is what it says in the Chumash, and we're going to discuss it later in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, ish, when it says that he would send the goat with an ish iti, ish means man. It doesn't say kohen. Lehachshir es hazor, even somebody who's a non-kohen is allowed to take the goat to the azazel. Iti, which means he was a designated person, shehiyahim zumon, that he was designated from the day before Yom Kippur. And there's halachic ramifications to this, that this is a person, and he has to have been designated before Yom Kippur, that he was going to be the one that was going to take the goat. Iti, when it says designated, the word iti, which is referring to ish iti, the designated person, but iti also means time, as in ace means time. So iti means it should be done at that time, on Yom Kippur, v'afilu b'Shabbos. Obviously, it's done on Yom Kippur. This is the avoid of Yom HaKippurim. But even when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you should still send the goat. And the Gemara is going to discuss what's the issue. Why is Shabbos, which halachas are we overriding that we need a special pasuk to say do it on Shabbos, and a type of overriding that we need for Shabbos, that virtue of the fact that it's Yom Kippur wasn't enough. The Gemara is going to discuss that. V'afilu b'Shabbos iti, something else we learn from iti means do it on time. Afilu b'tumah, even if it's tumah, one still sends the goat. That's the end of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Ish lehachsher es hazor. You're learning from the word Ish that even a non-Kohen can take the animal, the sawyer, to the Azazel. Why would I need a pasuk for that? Pshita, it should be taken for granted that it's not an avoda, it's not being done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Why should it have to be done by a Kohen? Says the Gemara, no. Mao de tema, I may have thought that given that kapara ksiva bay, since it says in the pasuk that Klal Yisrael receive atonement with this goat, I may have thought that since it's part of the process of kapara, it's annexed to the concept of avoda, and it would have to be done by a kohen. Kumash malon, that's why the pasuk is coming to teach us that no, it can be done even by a non-kohen. Continues the Gemara that the Braisa says iti vafilu b'Shabbos, that even on Shabbos, even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you're allowed to send the goat. Asks the Gemara, lemai hilchasa, which halacha of Shabbos is he transgressing that we need a special pasuk to say that even though it's Shabbos, you're allowed to take the goat? You're walking a goat to the desert. That's not one of the melachos min haTorah. If the pasuk is telling you do it even on Shabbos, it must be that he's transgressing a melacha that min haTorah would be asur on Shabbos. Which melacha would that be? Omer of Sheishes, loimar she'im hoya choyle, if the goat was sick and couldn't walk on its own, markivo el ksefoy, he's allowed to carry the goat on his shoulders. You're carrying on Shabbos, and you're carrying the goat from one Rishus to another Rishus. You're going from the Beis HaMikdash through the Rishus HaRabim till you get to the desert. And that is something which is Haitzah, is a Malacha on Shabbos. There is a Machlekes in the Mefarshim whether it means the Haitzah from carrying this goat from one domain to another. Is that the issue? And then there's a whole discussion whether the Azara itself, is it considered a Rishus HaRabim? Is it considered a Rishus HaYochid? There's a lot of talk in the Mefarshim. Others say the issue is actually carrying four Amos in Rishus HaRabim, which in and of its own is a problem. But the Pashto says we're talking about Haitzah, taking the goat from one domain to the next. And indeed, if the goat was walking on its own, it's not a problem. But if you're carrying the goat, then it would be a problem. Says the Gemara Kaman, so this Braisa where we see clearly that carrying the goat, which cannot walk on its own, would incur Chirul Shabbos, and that's why we need a pasuk to say, even though it's Shabbos, you can do it. Kaman, who would that be following? To Loika Reb Nosson, it's clearly not following Reb Nosson. Dear Reb Nosson, because Reb Nosson's opinion is, and we learned about this a couple of times in Maseches Shabbos, Ha-Omar Chai Noises Atzmoy. Reb Nosson says that anything alive carries itself. So even though you're carrying something which is alive, since the live thing could carry itself, it's not really considered a melacha d'oraisa of carrying. Says the Gemara, no. The Gemara says that this braisa could even be following Reb Nosson, afilutema Reb Nosson. Choloshani, if the goat would be able to walk on its own and you carry it, then we say that chai noises atzmoy, something live carries itself. But over here, when this animal is sick and it cannot walk, so it's not carrying itself, you're carrying it. And therefore, there's an Issa Meloch of Haitzah, even though it's alive, even according to Reb Nosson. Omar Raphram, and now Raphram is saying, is zoning in on another point we mentioned before, that on the same melochas that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on any Yom Kippur, even if it's in the middle of the week. And regarding every other Yom Kippur, when it's not on Shabbos, the Torah explicitly says you can take the Azazel from the Beis HaMikdash to the desert where it's going to be taken to the Azazel. So if every Yom Kippur gets overridden by the mitzvah of sending the Azazel, then just because it's Shabbos, what should be the issue here? Why should Shabbos need its own posuk? Omar Afram, Zoyse Meres, from the fact that the Braisa says that you learn from the word iti that even on Shabbos you can send the animal, it must be that Eruv, and we'll leave now the concept of Eruv Chatzeres, Rashi says it doesn't really belong here, it's a little bit out of context. The Mefarshim explain how it could belong here, but that's not the discussion. The discussion is Vahitzah, regarding carrying from one domain to another. The Rafram said that it seems that Haitzah, the Issa, the Melacha of taking from one domain to another, is L'Shabbos, is referring primarily to Shabbos, V'ein Erev Haitzah L'Yom HaKippurim. But as in the Melachis D'Oraisa that apply to Yom Kippur, carrying from one domain to another would not be included. And therefore, every other Yom Kippur, the Pasuk says, take the goat to the Azazel, that doesn't override the Issa of Eitzah, because there is no Issa of Eitzah on Yom Kippur, says Raphram. On Shabbos, we have an added issue. On Shabbos, there's an Issa of Eitzah, so I may have thought that you're not allowed to carry the goat. The Pasuk says, no, Itzi afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos you can carry the goat. Continues the Gemara. The next statement in the Braisa was, Itzi afilu b'Tumah, that even b'Tumah, you're allowed to take the goat. Asks the Gemara l'may hilchasa, what should be the problem? What issa of mikdosh or kdosh of this animal is not a korban, but it's going to be sent to the Azazel. What's the issue of the tumah here? Why do I need a pasuk to say even if there's tumah, you can take the Azazel to the desert? Omer of sheshes loymar shem nitzma mashalchoy. The chiddush is not if the goat itself became tumah. The goat itself became Tommy, that would not stop us from doing what we have to do. We wouldn't even need a pasuk for that. What happens if the person that was designated from Erev Yom Kippur to be the one to take this goat to the Azazel, and what happens if he became Tommy? Is he allowed to go into the Azara to take the goat and take it to where it has to be taken to? A Tommy person is not allowed in the Azara. Yes. Nichnas Tommy Lazara Mashalchoy, the pasuk says that Itiv Afilu Batuma, he's allowed to go into the Azara to take the goat and take it to where it has to be taken to. Continues the Gemara. And the next Gemara is quite cryptic. It's a number of questions that were asked to Rebbe Eliezer, and Rebbe Eliezer avoided answering them. Not because he didn't have the answers, but Rebbe Eliezer, the Gemara is going to say, was very particular to only say things over that he actually heard from his teachers. And since he hadn't heard explicitly from his teachers the rulings in these questions, therefore he chose to avoid answering them. Shalu as Rebbe Eliezer, they asked Rebbe Eliezer, Cholo, if the goat became weak, became sick, and couldn't walk to the Azazel, Ma'u shi'arkiveyu al-kseifoy, is the person carrying, or the person who's supposed to be taking the goat to the Azazel, is he allowed to carry it on his shoulders? They asked that to Rebbe Eliezer. Omar lehem, he answered them, or he didn't answer them, he steered away from the question, saying, Yochil hu leharkiv aniva'atem, this goat is strong, the goat itself could even carry you and me. So he just gave some comment that clearly steered away from the question. Another question they asked him, Cholo Mashalche, what happens if this designated person became sick? Ma'o she'shalchenu biyad achir, are you allowed to send somebody else to take the goat to the Azazel? And again, Rebbe Eliezer said, Omar lehem, Ehei b'sholim ani v'atem. What's the question? Not I and not you need him to go to the Azazel. Like, why should we get involved with this? Why should we have to answer this question? It doesn't apply to you or to me. So again, this was an answer which avoided the question. The third question. Dochfoy, if they pushed the goat to this Ish Iti, the person who took the goat to the Azazel, he pushed the goat off the cliff. Somehow the goat survived, it didn't die. Ma'o she'irid acharov, should this person go down the cliff to where this goat is, v'yamisenu, and do what it takes to kill it? Or is that not necessary? Omar lehem, and again, Reb Eliezer answered, kein yoivdu kol evecha Hashem. That's how all those who oppose Hashem, they should all die that way. And again, he didn't answer the question. However, the Chachomim did answer these three questions. They said, Cholo, if the goat is sick, Markive el Kseifoy, you can carry the goat on his shoulders. Cholo, Mashalchoy, if the person who was supposed to take the goat became sick, Yishalchenu biadachir, you're allowed to send the goat with somebody else. Dochfoy v'loy meis, if the goat didn't die, Yeridachrov yemisenu, then this person should follow the goat down the cliff and do what it takes to kill it. And now the Gemara is asking a few more questions, which are even more cryptic to Rebbe Eliezer. Shalu es Rebbe Eliezer. Ploini, a particular individual. The Gemara doesn't tell us which one. Rashi here tells us that maybe it's talking about, or some say it's talking about Shlomo HaMelech. Ma'u le'olam haba, is he, what is he with going to olam haba? Omale Rebbe Eliezer answered, lo yishal tuni elo al ploini. Then, and it's only asking me, why are you asking me about Shlomo? You should be asking me about somebody else, Ploini. And here, Rashi says, maybe you should be asking about Avshalom, a different son of David HaMelech. They asked him, Ma'o sheyatzil hakivsa min ha'ari. And here Rashi doesn't anymore tell us what this is alluding to, but Rabbeinu Chananel and other Rishonim, they do explain what this is, and they say, how about saving the kivsa min ha'ari, which is referring to Bathsheba, who was taken by David HaMelech, and they asked him, you know, what's the issue, what's the story was it okay that David HaMelech took Bathsheba, because originally she was an Eish HaSish, she was married to Uriah. Do we assume that Uriah gave a divorce to his wife, as was the custom then, that was the custom, that when they would go to the wars, they weren't sure if they would come back, and what would be their fate. Therefore, they would all write a divorce to their wives beforehand. And that was the question here. Can we rely on that? Can we assume that he wrote the divorce, and therefore it was okay, the relationship between David and Bathsheba? That's what they asked Rabbi Eliezer. Omar lohem lo yishaltuni elo ala roya, that instead of asking me about Bathsheba, you should be asking me about her former husband, Uriah. Was it okay that David HaMelech orchestrated that he would get killed in the war because he was a Moirid, had rebelled against the king? That's how the Rishonim here explain this. Ma'u lahatzil haroya minu ari. They asked him, what's the story with Uriah? Was it okay that David HaMelech orchestrated that he would be killed in the war? Omar lahem, and he answered him back, lo yishaltuni elo ala kivso. For the same token, you can ask me, was it okay that David HaMelech took Bathsheba? Could he rely on the divorce? Mamza mahu lirish. They asked, another question they asked Rabbi Eliezer is, does a mamza inherit from his father? And a mamza is a child that was born from a relationship between the father and a woman that he was not, that was seriously awesome for him to have any relations with. Does this mamza inherit his father? Does he do yibum? Because we know that if somebody dies without children, then his brother, from sharing the same father, does yibum with his deceased brother's wife. The question is, does a mamza do yibum with his brother's, the father? His father's got another son, and that son died without children. Does he do yibum? And mahu losud esbeisai, and is he allowed to plaster his home? Because normally we plaster our homes, just a small area we leave, zeichur lemigdosh, that we're in pain that we don't have a beis hamigdosh, so we don't complete the plastering of our homes. But this mamza, whose whole life has been destroyed, he's not allowed to marry a normal person. In Klal Yisrael, he's only allowed to marry another mamzer. Is he allowed to plaster his home? And Rabbi Eliezer answered to them that Ma'u losud es kivroi, why don't you ask, is he allowed to put plaster on the grave, on his grave? That means, is one allowed to put plaster on the grave of a mamzer? And this is very cryptic, and we don't need to go into it more here. And the Gemara is saying, Loi mipnei shefligon bedvarim, and the reason that he answered this way was not because he didn't have what to say. He had what to say. He was very makpid. He never said anything that he hadn't heard from his teachers. And the words lo mipnei shehifligon bedvarim seems to be what it means. Rashi says is the way we explained it, the reason he didn't answer was not because he didn't have what to say, but the words hifligon bedvarim means that he went off topic in order to avoid answering the question. And here the Sfasema says that he did go off topic. Just the reason he went off topic was not because he didn't have what to say, but because he hadn't heard from his teachers. So the words lo mipnei shehifligon bedvarim are a little bit, need to be explained. And it's not really clear why the Gemara put in these words to explain why Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer over here. Really, it should have been recorded a few lines later, because there's another question that they're going to ask Rabbi Eliezer, which the Gemara says now. Shalo isha chachomo es Rabbi Eliezer, a wise woman asked Rabbi Eliezer, me'achar shemaisa ha'egel shovin. All the people that did Averis by the sin of the Egel, it seems they all did the same thing. They served the Egel, whatever they did. Mipnima in misason shove. Why was it that there were three different sentences that were met to the people who did the Egel? There were those that were killed with a sword, there were those that were killed with a magefa, an epidemic, and there were those that were killed with hadraikon, which is some type of a stomach illness. And why would that be? Omar lo. Rabbi Eliezer again didn't answer the question. He just said, "Ein chochma le'isha." The wisdom of a woman is only elo bepolech, is only with a spindle. She knows how to spin, and that's where she should focus her wisdom. V'cheinu oimer, and indeed to that effect, as the pasuk says, "V'chol isha chachma sleiv beyodeo tovu." A woman, a wise woman, with her hands she spins. You see that the wisdom of a woman is directed at her ability to spin, and she shouldn't be asking other questions. Itmar. But regarding the actual question that was asked, Rav and Levi both gave different answers. And Chad Omar, one of them said as follows, Zibeach v'kiteir, those people that actually shechted a korban to the egel, or they burnt a korban to the egel, they were killed b'sayef with a sword. Gipeif, those that just embraced the egel, v'nishek and kissed the egel, b'misa, they were put to death by misa b'dei shamayim. That was the Magefa, the epidemic. Somach b'liboy, but if all this person did was that in his heart he was happy with the egel, but he didn't actually do anything, in that case, badreikon, he got killed with this stomach illness. The Chad Omar, that was either Rav or Levi said that, and the other opinion said that Edim v'Hasra, in the event that there were also witnesses and also they warned the person, don't do what you're doing, then Besayef. And some of the Mefarshim explained that the two explanations here are not really much of a contradiction, because when a person shechts and burns an animal for Avodah Zarah, there's enough time for witnesses to see and to warn him. So that's Besayef. Eidim b'lo yasra, but if there's only witnesses but they didn't have time to warn him, which would be typical if a person just goes over to embrace or to kiss the Avodah Zarah, that may have been witnessed by witnesses but not have had enough time to warn him before. B'misa, then they get misa b'dei shamayim, they're not killed by the sword on behalf of the Beis Din here on earth. Lo eidim v'lo yasra, if there's no witnesses and no way of warning this person, as would typically be when a person is just happy in his heart with the Avodah Zarah and not actually serving the Avodah Zarah, but Reikon would be killed with this stomach illness. Omer of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda added, Shivtei Shalevi, the Kohenim, the Leviim, all those from the tribe of Levi, Lo Yavad Avodas Kechovim, they did not serve the Egel. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayamid Moshe Bashar Amachne, Moshe stood at the gates of the camp, Vayomer, and he said, Mila Shem Eli, those that are exclusively loyal to Hashem should come to me, Vayosfa Elov Kolbnei Levi, and all of the tribe of Levi gathered with him. So we see the tribe of Levi did not get carried away with the Egel. Vayomer, Yosef Ravina Okomar Lahoshmaita. Ravina said over this statement that Rav Yehuda said that the tribe of Levi did not do the Egel. Eisvei bnei Rav Papa bar Abba l'Ravina. The sons of Rav Papa bar Abba asked Ravina a question. Va'omar, it says in the Pasuk, and when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the brachas to the Shvatim before he passed away, so he said to Shevet Levi that ha'oimer la'oviv u'le'imoy lo'y re'isiv, ves echov lo'y hikir, ves bonov lo'y yoda, Kishamrim Rosecha of Rischoyin Tsayru. See, and he was complimenting them that they didn't shy away, and when the time came that Hashem said you should even kill your father, your brother, your son, when they did the Egel, then they didn't deter and they did what they had to do. So you see that you have people of Levi that were complimented for killing their father's brothers and sons who had done the Egel. How can you review to say that the tribe of Levi didn't do the Egel? So answers the Gemara that when it says Oviv, that there was a father or somebody from Levi that did the Egel, that doesn't mean that somebody from Levi did the Egel. What it means is Avi Imoy mi Israel. It means not the father, it means the grandfather, the father of his mother. This person from Levi, his father was obviously a Levi if he's a Levi. His mother may have been from a different tribe, from one of the other tribes of Israel, and her father was not a Levi. And that's the father, the grandfather referred to here. That's the Oviv. What's the Echov? How can it be a brother of somebody from Levi and not be a Levi? Is Echov me'imoy me'Yisrael? They shared the same mother, they didn't share the same father. So you can have two brothers, one is a Levi, one isn't. And Moshe was complimenting the Levi for being prepared to kill even the brother for having done the Egel. And it's not a contradiction. The Levi brother didn't do the Egel, and the other brother did. What's the bon of? How can he be the son of a Levi and not be a Levi? Is Bnei Bitoy? It's not referring to a son, it's referring to a grandson. And the person, the Levi, could have a daughter that she was a Levi, but she married somebody who wasn't a Levi. So now her children are not Levim. So you've got a grandson referred to as Bonov, but you have a grandson of a Levi who's not a Levi. Continues the Gemara. The Kevesh Osuloi, there was this ramp, this platform that led out from the Azara out towards the Azazel, on which this person, this designated person, would take the goat. And the reason they did that was because the Bavliim, the people from Babylonian, they would pull at the hair of the goat, and you know, in order to rush it along and in order to avoid them having any access to the goat, they would make this raised platform, which was higher than the reach of the people who were standing by. They would keep the goat and the person sending the goat safe. Omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Loi Bavliim Hoyu, the truth is it wasn't the Babylonians, Elo Alexandriim Hoyu, it was the Alexandriim. The reason that they were called them Babylonians is because there was something that we had because there was a type of a hatred, so to speak, against the Babylonians because they didn't come up together when they should to Eretz Yisrael in the case of the in the second Beis Hamikdash, but they hated the Babylonians, and therefore whenever somebody was doing something wrong, they would call them and refer to them as being Bavliim, even though they were not Bavliim. So here, these Alexandriim, they were called and referred to as Bavliim because of the hatred towards the Bavliim. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Loi Bavliim hoyu, el Alexandriim hoyu, as we just saw. Omale Rabbi Yosi, who actually descended from a family from Bovel, he said to Rabbi Yehuda, Tanuach Taitcha, it was a bracha he gave him. Your mind should always be relieved, should be peaceful. She'enachto is deity, because you've calmed down my mind. Because when I saw that there was something here about the Bavliim, that they used to engage in this inappropriate custom of pulling the hair or trying to pull the hair of the goat or the person that was sending the goat, and he was getting a bit offended. He was upset that it was somebody that was associated to his family directly or indirectly. And when Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it wasn't the Bavliim, it was the Alexandriim, that Rabbi Yosi was very happy about that. Continues the Gemara. Tul Vatzei, the Mishnah says that these Bavliim, or as we now know, the Alexandriim, would shout and say at the person taking the goat out, run and go, run and go, don't hang around, go quicker. Tana, Ma Shohi, what were they saying? They would say, Ma Shohi, why are you delaying Tzefira Dain, this goat, V'choivei Doros Agin, when there are many Averus of the generation resting on this goat? And why are you not going even quicker? You should be running to the Azazel to throw the animal over the cliff in order that the generation should get atonement. And the Mefarshim explained that since this was Yom Kippur, it was a Yom Adin, time is of essence, and a generation is judged by whether it has most mitzvahs, most Averus, and they knew that if we don't get rid of as many Averus as we can as soon as possible, we're at risk of a judgment that's not going to be so good for us, and therefore they would rush him along, and that's what they would say to him, Tul Vatzei, take the goat and go quickly. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.